the floor to move the dash four amendments to House Bill 3451. And we've had discussion on this. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we are closing the work session on...
But you have, Mr. Chair, just want to be clear, you don't want to move the bill out of committee?
I want to, when the bill leaves committee, I want it clean. I don't want to send it to the Senate for purposes of having it cleaned up there. We'll clean up our own bills.
So we're having another work session?
We'll have another work session on this bill. Okay?
So we've adopted the dash four.
We've adopted the dash four amendments, so that will be our bill that we come back to in the next session when we talk about it in the next work session. So we can have that written and all in order at that time.
And for further clarification, that means that we did not revise the word shall in line four.
That is true. We will probably have some amendments to the current dash four, but that's, you know, for another work session. Okay. With this, I want to open a very hearing on House Bill 3572. And we have a Mr. John Griffith who is here to testify on that bill and has come over 100 miles. And I sure don't want him to come back another day when he's already here. So, Mr. Griffith.
Thank you, Chairman Jensen, members of the committee. My name is John Griffith. Before running for public office, I was, for the most part, just a beach person. I live in Coos Bay. I also thank Wayne Krieger and Joanne Berger for introducing my bill. I'll just go through some of those comments and shorten them for you. Beach access and recreation are very important to life on the coast and the major reason many people choose to live at the coast. They're also very important to our economy. In the beginning of time, travel and whatever access and recreation anybody wanted to do on the coast was perfectly okay. But since then, the Department of Transportation and Parks and Recreation, the other persons in charge of the beach, they've restricted travel in vehicles on 87% of the coastline, meaning over 13% left. The problem with that, on the north coast, there's a lot of those closures that I think are entirely appropriate, but on the southern Oregon coast, a lot of our beaches are miles and miles long, and people who do traditional recreation, that's surfing, fishing, those sorts of things, you can't go to one end of a beach and look down miles and miles and know whether or not there's going to be any opportunity to present itself because it's all dependent on riptides and shapes of bars. So although I'm not an advocate of unlimited motor vehicle access to the beaches, certainly not, on a lot of our beaches, they're just useless without it. It's just the facts. I've attached some of the ORS. I'd like to draw your attention to attachment one, particularly the first page. There's a bold text, parenthesis four. The Legislative Assembly further declares that it is in the public interest to do whatever is necessary to preserve and protect scenic and recreational use of Oregon's ocean shore. It did so by declaring the entire ocean shore as the recreation area. That's the management category. The beaches, however, can be closed through a statutory authority found at ORS 390.678. That problem with that is that once a beach has been closed by the Parks Commission, in the statute, there's no way to ever reopen it. So what's gone's gone for good or bad. When I was campaigning, one of the biggest complaints I heard going door to door was people who'd say, can you do anything about so we can go to the beach? The Forest Service in 1996, through a national program, started charging people $5 a day to go to the beach. And now we have the Parks and Recreation Department, I'm not blaming them, but they're closing another 17 miles of our beach in the area between Hasita Head and Blacklock Point. which is about an 80-mile reach of coast. The Dunes National Recreation Area is about half of that. It's about 40 miles, and they charge folks $5 a day to go to the beach there. Between the parks and recreation closures and the Dunes National Recreation Area closures, that's the Forest Service people, they don't know one closure from another. They're just getting really frustrated because all the places they used to go and things they used to do are being alienated from them. Specifically, these current closures that are underway right now are adopted by the Parks and Recreation Department under OAR 736-021-040. These involve a western snowy plover, which is a federally listed threatened wildlife species. Every year since 1994, including the present, that's 8 years, the department has, through its rules, closed under emergency basis this 17 and a half miles of coast. Well, when you add what's left, that's about, I don't know if it's half, but it's a lot of the places where we used to be able to go. They just, from the 15th of March until the 15th of September, they're closed. Now, Parks Department might argue that these closures, most of the closures, all but a couple of miles, are only to the dry sand part of the beach. But if the tide's in, there isn't any dry sand. If you walk down the beach and the tide came in, you're either in violation, I guess you're just supposed to stand in the water till the tide goes back out. Or, I think I put in here somewhere, yeah, many people do not understand that incoming tide can trap them. There's also the well-documented danger of rolling logs, killing or seriously injuring beachgoers. The problem's most critical when the tide's in. I hope that my bill will not be construed as critical of OPRD. I believe the agency feels itself to be boxed in by biologists at various agencies who misuse their credentials and behave as activists. Due to the Endangered Species Act and management construction of federal agencies, these people exercise complete power in recommending restrictions. There's a team of these folks who work together and come up, the biologists come up with the recommendations they want, where they want everything closed. The whole process is isolated from the public. Since 1994, we've never been offered the opportunity to comment. The plover biologists acknowledge having made no attempt in Oregon to measure snowy plover's tolerance to human disturbance. Only one study has ever been done on snowy plover tolerance to human activities, and I cite it there. It was in 1995 in California. That study found that plovers showed no response at distances greater than 150 meters. I had feet. I changed it to meters after I double-checked. To any type of human activity, passing motor vehicles call the lowest levels and duration of plover response. Statutory pedestrians, especially those with dogs, cause the greatest. This bird nests on the ground, so it's evolved to run away or do various disturbance factors when things come by. If a crow flies over its head, it responds, so it's not any big deal for somebody to go by at 25 miles an hour. I've set up a tripod and scope when I've been out there and the surf's been crummy and watched them, and they don't do anything if anybody goes by.
We're going to run out of time.
Okay.
We've got another committee on their way in here.
All right. Well, basically all the bill asks is that since the old closures are all one way and can't be reversed, and every year we're getting these new closures with no opportunity to comment on them, all I'm asking is for the status quo. I call it no net loss, so that we can continue to do where we do. Thanks.
Thank you very kindly. Appreciate your testimony. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3572, and we are adjourned.